It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Happy 9/24 day. Joey Ramirez, wherever you are, and I say this with the utmost sincerity, happy birthday, brother. Back in the early days of podcasting and even wrestling hotlines, Joey 924 was part of the family. You know, we had a little bit of a falling out. Haven't talked to him. God, it's got to be, what, 16 years, maybe? Probably around that time. So, you know, he dipped out of the scene. Haven't heard from him. Haven't seen anything. Not even him talking about wrestling. Not even socializing on social media. So if anybody happens to still keep in touch with him, I'm a little curious. How's he doing? Does he still follow wrestling? Would he ever consider doing a reunion show, a Forbidden Door? You know, a lot of people have been wanting that over the years. So, hey, you know, you never know. You never know. I want to welcome everybody to the latest edition of the Sit Down. I know we are kind of on some wrestling overload the past 5 days. A lot of WWE, a lot of NXT, AEW releases, and, you know, the stock tanking for TKO. And I tell you, you know, I started working on Monday's show. You know, I'm trying to up my game a little bit as far as the quality of my thumbnails. And I started thinking about, you know, what is the future for Raw and NXT? And as we discussed yesterday, and I think it's probably the simplest, easiest way to explain it. You know, if I'm going to go and buy, let's say somebody's having a garage sale. All right, and I'm going to buy, you know, one big thing from them, and then I see something else that catches my eye too. I may want to try to work out a little bit of a deal, maybe get a little bit of a discount, work a little bit of a package offer. And the fact that NBC Universal and WWE publicly announced the 5-year deal to bring SmackDown to the USA Network tells me that Raw and NXT are done. Because if they were still a possibility for the USA Network, there was no reason to announce now at this extreme moment, particular time, there was no reason to announce the SmackDown TV deal yet. Investors weren't starting to get their balls in a bunch. The merger just completed. So it would be understandable if it took another week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, you know, to work out the TV deals. If they were close to possibly keeping Raw and NXT on the USA Network, that SmackDown press release would not have come out. And instead, we would have had one big press release that all of WWE's programming is going to be on the USA Network. So I was working on, like, my thoughts of what could we talk about Monday as far as the future of Raw. You know, we casually brought it up yesterday. And yes, I will get into all your questions in a moment because that's what the Sit Down is about. But I wanted to open up with this. You know, I was thinking, okay, you know, who could be a legit player for WWE Raw and NXT? And, you know, there's Disney and there's Amazon and there's a few others. So I said, okay, I want to make a banner, you know, just to make that the big topic of discussion, because honestly, if I put Cody Rhodes and Dominic Mysterio on the banner for the Raw post show, it's not going to generate a whole lot of interest. Even if I put Gunther, even if I put Chad Gable, even if I put Jey Uso, they're the lowest ratings in the history of Raw, period. NFL's been on Monday night for 3 decades while Raw was on TV. and the ratings are this bad. So I started thinking, okay, what could I come up with? And then for some reason, my mind started thinking about the draft. You know, when you had somebody moving from SmackDown to Raw and Raw to SmackDown. And I said, you know, Raw, what if it's drafted, you know, just to play on that, to Amazon? So I started searching, creating the banner, looking for templates. And I found it and I started working on it. And then I had to start doing my research from the ratings 5 years ago to today, because 5 years ago is when WWE last did their TV deals. And I found something pretty fascinating that I'm going to show you a little preview for tomorrow night's show. That's what I came up with. You know, instead of, you know, your Raw SmackDown draft, we have Raw being drafted possibly to Amazon. And I was trying to think of some important bullet points to cover. And you see, aired on the USA Network since 2005. You know, they had that three-year stretch where they were on TNN, We Got Pop. They Raw has been the flagship show on Monday night since 1993. But look at that third number, that third line. I did my own research. I researched January 1st, 2018 to September 24th, 2018. And I looked at what the average rating was for Raw. And then I took January 1st of this year, the September 24th of this year. And yes, Raw hasn't happened on the 24th. It happened earlier this year, this week. And the ratings are down 44% since 2018. 44%. That's pretty substantial. For those that are going to ask, and yes, I will get into it in detail tomorrow, the percentage of the viewership drop for SmackDown is much less. It's only about 7%. In fact, if you factor in the remaining 12 weeks of 2018, the whole year of 2018, let me put it this way. If SmackDown maintains around 2.4, 2.45 million viewers a week from now until the end of the year, the ratings that SmackDown had in 2018 compared to now are almost identical. So it's pretty wild that SmackDown is only down about 7%, but yet Raw is down 44%. So we'll break that down tomorrow, but pretty interesting when you start, you know, digging deep into the numbers. So, all right, the sit down. For anybody that's newer, what is this about? Sunday nights, it's the Lazy Show. We should actually call it the Lazy Show. I'm sure that there's been many podcasts online over the years that have called their show the Lazy Show. I show up here with nothing. Basically, everybody who's live chooses the topics of conversation. You have to be in the chat room to be interactive with the show. All I ask is, you know, a couple of things. If you're going to ask a question, just write in capital letters the word question before it so I could spot it quicker and easier. If you have a comment that you just want me to share with everyone, post a comment. If I do answer yours, you know, wait a little bit. Let others put some stuff out there because some people will just post like 1, 2, 5, 10 questions. You know, just I appreciate it. But, you know, we try to spread it out. And as always, Super Chats are not required. They are appreciated. That's what keeps this in business, amongst a few other things. And they'll always get a little bit of priority treatment, especially if we're on a particular topic. So before we get into the chat room, actually, you know what? I will answer one in the chat room first. Michael Gonzalez brings up, have I seen any of Rick Boogs' comments regarding his release? Yes, I have. That is going to be a topic of conversation tomorrow. Because apparently more things just came out that hasn't really circulated. But the two things that I have noticed already that really caught my eye about Rick Boogs is, number one, he says that the removal of Vince McMahon killed his career. That's last year, by the way. He's never had the same momentum since. We spent over an hour yesterday talking about every release. I wanted to show respect for each person who, you know, are part of what we love, and that is the world of pro wrestling. Some other people spent 5 minutes. I decided to spend over an hour. I was very sincere in everything that we talked about yesterday, but we were very, very honest as well. Rick Boogs' career demise is the injury bug. Vince McMahon being removed, you know, led to him going with Eliza. The guy was off TV because of injury more than anything else. But he believes that Vince being pulled from creative. Now, of course, that conflicts with the people online that want to brainwash you that Vince still is in charge of everything. Of course, Vince will tweak things here and there. That's what he's there for. He's now the chairman of WWE under TKO Group Holdings. That's what he's there for. He's got a 41-year track record, you know, whether you like him or not. But very interesting that Rick Boogs is basically saying the opposite. You know, everybody else, remember Triple H, you know, Teflon, could not be criticized. Oh, we gave him a share of criticism here. You know, I mean, we were very, very respectful about it. You know, and you can't blame, eat the big one, eat the big one. What was the woman that Red Fox used to say? Not Stephanie. Stephanie, eat the big one. No, we could use Stephanie. Could Triple H. No, I mean, you know, just Triple H is not perfect. No one is. Triple H has been part of the WWE machine since the mid-90s. Why people thought that Triple H was an outcast, you know, going against the grain, sitting on the sidelines, one day, I'm going to be in charge, and then I'm going to turn everything upside down. I mean, Nick Khan being brought in should have quieted that shit up. Nick Khan is 10 times more powerful than even Triple H, be honest. But yeah, I did see Rick Boogs' stuff. We'll talk about it a little bit more tomorrow. He also feels that somebody weird has a weird vendetta against him. Yeah, it's the injury bug. So, okay. I'm assuming that this gentleman who sent me, I've never gotten a 777 before. Lascelles Williams, thank you for the $7.77 Super Chat. Say that fast 10 times. 777. Is Dolph Ziggler a WWE Hall of Famer? I don't blame you if you didn't see yesterday's show yet. Cheap plug. We had a fascinating discussion about all the releases, but especially about Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler has had a Hall of Fame career. Dolph Ziggler, even though he wasn't, you know, top tier throughout his entire career, he was good enough. If Coco Beware could be in the WWE Hall of Fame, so could Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler has done a shitload. Not only has he had a storied WWE career, he's been reliable. He's been consistent. He has gotten better with age. He is a class act in front of the camera and behind. Maybe some people don't like his political views, but Dolph Ziggler is absolutely a WWE Hall of Famer. Miz is a future WWE Hall of Famer, whether you like it or not. Not everybody could be, you know, a marquee name, you know, semi-household name. No, I mean, professional wrestling, what makes it beautiful is that not every single person is main event. If everybody was main event, nobody would be main event. I mean, you always want to strive to be better. And yes, WWE creative can hurt that momentum. Even if you're doing everything right, WWE creative could fuck you up. Any company could fuck you up. That's why some people become their own boss. So nobody fucks up their shit. Dolph Ziggler is a Hall of Famer. I don't think he goes into WWE Hall of Fame for 5-10 years minimum. He's still got career left. There's no reason to put him in now. 10 years, yeah, I would put him in. Not right now. But he is a WWE Hall of Famer. Shout out to Bash. He is watching Goodfellas for the millionth time. Yeah, enjoy, man. It's funny. Like, I've watched it so many times. If I sit in front of the TV, if we did a watch-along, I could literally sit here and just, you know, like, mimic everything they said. I'd be like Milli Vanilli. I would just lip sync everything. The movie, I know it by heart. And it's my favorite movie of all time, obviously. And last week was the anniversary of when it came out. What, 32 years? 33 years. What am I saying? 33 years. And I saw it the night it came out. There was so much anticipation where I live to see Goodfellas. So, all right. Who else sent me a super shout out earlier? This is Sal Lamendola. Thank you for the 5 spots, Sal. What's my thoughts on podcaster James Romero? And do I follow any of his shows? If so, which one is my favorite? It's funny, when you said his name, every time I hear his name, I think of George A. Romero that did like Night of the Living Dead or Dawn of the Dead or something. For those that don't know James Romero's name, he is the guy that does a lot of the wrestling shoot interviews. He actually, I think that's the name of his YouTube channel, WSI. He does a lot of wrestling shoot interviews. While we're doing the show, if I could find a picture, I'll put it on the screen. Probably the podcast that he is most associated with right now is with Dutch Mantel. He is, you know, the one who, you know, a lot of people, you know, I brought this up before. You know, when we did the Mass Maniac show, my God, what is it, 18 years ago? It's kind of wild when you realize we did the Mass Maniac show 20 years ago, because we actually did a few episodes in 2003. Why was I even on the early stages of the Mass Maniac show? Because he didn't know how to upload and edit and code it and just, you know, run things. You know, I had to run the ship, which is totally understandable. When you see all of these legendary wrestlers doing podcasts now, there's always someone with them that you don't necessarily know them, or they're not nearly as famous. And the reason why they're there is not necessarily because they're good, but because they record, they edit, they upload, they put the banners, the thumbnails, they advertise it, they spread the word, they do all the work. And they make it as easy as possible for the legendary wrestler to do the show. Legendary wrestler is not going to do all that work, so you get someone else to do it. That's why all of these shows have the second individual. In the case of James Romero, though, he's good. He's good. I have no issues with him. He works his ass off. I will say this. I will not forgive him for stopping the Magnificent Morocco podcast. I freaking loved Don Morocco's podcast. And I got to be totally honest with you. James, don't get upset when I say this is just my opinion. But the excuse that there's a time zone and there's a time difference, bullshit. Bullshit. Because when you do 12 hours a day of podcasting stuff, you know, there's time to do Magnificent Morocco's. Unfortunately, and I blame some of this on WWE, Don Morocco's popularity and time has passed him by way, way, way many years ago. And unfortunately, the numbers are nowhere near what they should have been. If WWE would have celebrated his career a little bit more over the last 20 years, you would have seen a lot more interest in Magnificent Morocco. There wasn't much. That's why the show ended. But I like James. No issues with him whatsoever. He does his research. And you know, which one is my favorite? Probably Dutch Mantel's. You know, Shane Douglas's show is new still. So, you know, I dig that a little bit. The only problem is I don't have enough time to check out a lot of podcasts out there. So, you know, I pick and choose my moments as far as when to watch something. But James Royal, yeah. Like I said, if I get it, I'll Google a picture. I'll put it up in a few minutes. By the way, speaking of pictures, yesterday we brought up Captain Lenny. And a lot of you remember the audio I played over the last 2 years of Captain Lenny just invading my wrestling hotline. He's the weirdest, wackiest. I got a picture for all of you. In fact, what I'll do, we're at the 20-minute mark. After the show is over, when you see my fingers going like this, there'll be a link. If you want to see a very strange appearance by Captain Lenny on a podcast of a friend of mine's, Nelson Torres from New York. This is a screenshot from, it's got to be what, 5 years ago maybe? I can't believe that Captain Lenny's only about 70 years old. That means that when this motherfucker was giving me heartaches back in the late 90s, he wasn't even 50 years old, man. That is Captain Lenny. If you want a little bit more of a close-up of this guy, yeah, would you trust your wrestling news from him? He is by far the strangest motherfucker I ever came across in wrestling. Yeah, maybe next week we'll play the dog audio again. We're not going to talk about that tonight. We're not going to talk about that tonight. All right. Tristan Sloan is asking, do I think if Vince McMahon would have turned Hulk Hogan heel in the early 90s, would have had a bigger impact than in WCW? No. No. The thing is, in 1990, with the Gulf War, that actually helped rejuvenate Hulk Hogan as a superhero. You know, I mean, when Randy Savage, you know, became uber popular, and a lot of people preferred Savage over Hogan, and then the Ultimate Warrior, and then when you hit 90, right around that time with the Gulf War, that kind of rejuvenated Hogan a little bit. But then when you started getting the 91 and 92, you know, it's once again, you know, by that time, see, we watched Hulk Hogan on WWF TV since 1983. So when you get 7, 8, 9 years of a guy on your TV, gets a little played. You bring him to WCW and you start right off the bat with a fantasy match, him feuding with Ric Flair. Of course, the outcome was all favoring Hulk Hogan, but it drove a lot of WWF fans to WCW. A lot of fans flocked to WCW because of Hulk Hogan, but then it started to get weak. And then there was, you know, the time where, you know, he started doing Thunder in Paradise, and then you had the steroid trial with Vince McMahon, and it was a time to turn Hulk. If Hulk would have turned to 90 or 91, what would he have done? Like, support Saddam Hussein? Like, it wouldn't have made sense. It wouldn't have worked. You know, it was the perfect timing to do it at Bash at the Beach. And the rest is history. Okay. Dragon Den, what do I think the whole new era of AEW is about? I don't know yet. I don't know yet. I know a lot of people take 22, you know, there's some inside jokes with that stuff. You got to understand, man, you get people forming, and so in the beginning it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. You know, I think about, you know, when Swerve Strickland first aligned with Parker Boudreau and the other guy who is no longer there anymore, the former baseball player he was, and you know, they brought that big fat rapper out there, history being made, and then you're like, nothing. You know, it's just like things in the beginning, it's let's throw shit on a wall and see if it sticks. So this right now, they're throwing something on the wall. I mean, in a matter of weeks, we should have a better idea of what it's all about. But, you know, whether it's satire or it's a faction or it's some other QT Marshall comedic brainstorm that he has, we should know soon enough. And then we'll evaluate it. You know, with AEW, a lot of things that form don't necessarily make a whole lot of sense early on. You know, let's just wait and see. I mean, with WWE, it's a lot more predictable when things happen, you know, which kind of makes it easier to understand and makes it more fun that way. Here, you could think, you know what? I'm convinced that what they're doing is going to lead to this piece of paper is black. And then all of a sudden, you find out the piece of paper is white. You can't, something like this, you can't dissect it, you can't. Banana, the bad guy Williams. Do I think Ricky Starks is the next AEW wrestler to go to WWE? Well, it all comes down to contracts. And the thing is, we don't know necessarily how many years, you know, some people have left. Just keep in mind, I'm pretty certain we're approaching the four-year anniversary of AEW. And when you think about that, some people early on had a one-year deal and then got extended 3 more years. Then you had some people that had a 3-year deal and got extended a year extra. So some people's contracts may be coming up soon that nobody is talking about. So honestly, I don't think Ricky Starks will be the next one to jump, because Ricky Starks, they obviously with Collision, they have, listen, I love Eddie Kingston. I've been following Eddie Kingston for 20 years. Eddie Kingston is from my neck of the woods. In fact, he was in a much poorer area than I was, not by his choice. I've gone to wrestling events where he wrestled, where everybody hung out afterwards. I am such a fan of Eddie Kingston. When he was in NWA, we all smiled from ear to ear, because NWA, even though it's a much smaller company, even a few years ago, still, it's like, okay, he's going to get a little bit more of a broader notice. And then he came into AEW. But I will even say this. Until I see this motherfucker holding gold that says All Elite Wrestling on it, I always feel Ring of Honor is a step down. You know, having a belt from another promotion, to me, is a step down. You know, when I see him hold, because some wrestlers in AEW, they'll get Ring of Honor titles, you know, they'll get AAA titles, they'll get New Japan titles, Reyes de Woman titles, but you never see them with All Elite Wrestling titles. And I want to see him with an All Elite Wrestling title. I want to see Ricky Starks with the fucking AEW World Championship. Or I want him to have an impressive run with the TNT Championship. I don't even want the TNT Championship, because that's a title for a network. I don't think Ricky Starks is done with AEW. I think they realize that they have a lot of value in him. But I do think one day he will be going to WWE. He is committed to turn into a megastar. And it's going to get to a point where AEW has done so much that there's maybe not too much left to do. So when that happens, I think that's when Ricky Starks is gone. Yeah, Christian Cage, TNT champ. We called it last yesterday. Remember the closing moments of the show? We were talking about Collision's preview, and I said, it looks like it's going to be a good show. I said, wouldn't that be something if Christian Cage becomes TNT champion? Yeah. Listen, it also doesn't make me look like a genius. It also makes you realize how predictable AEW is sometimes. We knew Tony Storm was going to end up facing Saraya. We knew Samoa Joe was going to end up facing MJF. We knew who wins tournaments. And it's not because we got inside sources or were extremely intelligent. It's because AEW is too fucking predictable at times. And unless you're a special player like Christian, if you kind of know where something is going, you're not necessarily going to tune in. I already know who's going to win that match. I don't need to see it. I'll watch it later on if it's good. But I like that Christian got it. Very good. Very good. Anthony Alston would like to know, do I have a time frame personally when I would consider calling it quits when it comes to podcasting? Yeah, if I get sick and I can't do it. If my wife ever gives me an ultimatum, it's either me, the shows, or me, which she wouldn't do because she knows this is my escape. A lot of shows for all of you out there, even watching wrestling on TV, is your escape. In a lot of ways, this is my escape. This is my stress reliever. Even though sometimes it's overwhelming, the amount of work. That's why even when, you know, with the YouTube stuff, when I had people early on, oh, you're doing YouTube for a money grab. Meanwhile, I'm looking at an episode and it's like, I got $2.61. You know, that's why, you know, but when I physically can't do it anymore, if my wife ever gave me an ultimatum, if expenses became out of control, you know, thank God for Patreon. Thank God for YouTube. Thank God for ads, because up until 5-6 years ago, pretty much, you know, everything was on my credit card. You know, it's not like, oh, thank you, Don Tony. And I don't mean it like that, but people don't realize that when you do this since 1997, that's cool. But I dropped at least 40 grand, maybe more, you know, for the expenses of the website and the hosting and the bandwidth and the players and the, you know, not only that, the editing programs, the software that I use, vMix, I paid $800 so I can have 4K video, but not only that, have more than one host on. Because originally, before, you know, someone left here, you know, we had ideas of having shows with three hosts, four hosts, and, you know, they charge you $800 if you want to have more than one person on. And I blew it, and then next thing I know, I realized I didn't need it, no refunds. So when it becomes too expensive, then that's it. You know, I've thought about doing a paywall for everything, you know, after all these years, but I don't. I don't ever want to make someone, because you don't know how bad someone is in a situation financially. I will never ever make someone pay to hear me talk or watch me talk, you know. I mean, but yeah, those are the only circumstances that I see. Or if I die. If I die. that's the only thing I see. Shout out to Basic. Thank you, Basic, with the $9.99. Much love, my friend. Thank you, Basic. Yeah, there's not much money on YouTube. It's all super chats and memberships, ad revenue to an extent. I did one short, and that was the Moth, the night we covered Bray Wyatt's passing. It's still, other than covering Daphne's passing, those two nights are the freakiest nights of me ever doing shows. And for anybody that was not around those two nights, the moment we learned what happened to Daphne, a ceiling tile came flying down above me. It's on video. Look at the timestamp and look at the TMZ report at the time she passed. It's within 60 seconds. Then the night we covered Bray Wyatt's passing on that Raw celebration show, while I'm covering Bray Wyatt, and I said the moment that he went to sleep and never woke up, a fucking moth flies into the camera and starts hitting me in the face. Look at my channel. Just look, go under the shorts. There's only one short. Look at the video. I actually had some people say, oh, you planted that. What am I going to go do? Go to Petland Discounts and say, hey, sell me a moth and I'm going to train it? You hang out over there. The minute I say Bray Wyatt died, you fly in here and hit me in the face. By the way, why do I even have a moth in my house? That's bizarre. That gets paranormal shit. That's weird shit, man. Weird shit. Shout out to AS7607 and Maggie Lusk. Thank you to both of you. AS7607 says that I hear the situation with Soraya losing her storage unit in Florida. She posted on social media her items went missing. There were 300 items that sold in an auction. First of all, I don't know anything about the story, and I'm probably going to be wrong. I don't want anybody to get mad at me, but my immediate first reaction to what you just said to me is that she didn't pay a bill. And the items became the ownership of the storage place, and they sold the shit. Because if someone stole the stuff, I certainly don't think they would just put it up for auction. And if they did, that would be criminal. So my first reaction is she didn't pay her bill, and it went delinquent, And it got to the point where she must have signed a deal, because I do know there's some storage units that if you do not pay, the property becomes, your items become the property of the storage company. So I'll look into it. And again, please, anyone out there, if I'm wrong, don't criticize me for it. But you don't just have things missing and then they pop up on an auction. You call the cops. You know what I mean? You call the police. So, all right. Oh, yeah, they auction storage units, too. I've watched Storage Wars and all that stuff. Some of those shows are so fake, man. Oh, God, they're so fake. But I almost bought a storage unit once about 15 years ago. They were doing an auction in Long Island. And they had a whole bunch of storage units. And you bid. Like, it's similar to what they have on TV. I'm not denying it. Like, they open it up and you get to look. You can't go all the way in. And then you bid on what you think you're going to get. But, yeah, the lot of the ones you see on TV, a lot of that is bullshit because they try to spice it up for TV purposes. So, okay. Yeah, you see, AS7607 is pretty much saying what I just said. The facility was getting the runaround from her and there was something $20,000 involved and it was never resolved. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. She didn't pay her bill. They closed her account. She didn't bring it up to date, so they sold her shit. You know, at the end of the day, you know, just because you're a former WWE superstar and current AEW Women's Champion, you know, doesn't mean that you get preferential treatment from a business. They sold their shit. It is what it is. Rocky Red wants to know, what's my take on AEW blocking Stevie Richards' What Went Wrong video? And have I ever watched any of his videos? Yes, Stevie Richards, man, talk about like, even though he's had health issues, as far as like eating well and, just exercise, he's a guru, man. I like Stevie Richards. I think the problem with the Stevie Richards video, for those that don't know, once Jon Moxley had the concussion from Dynamite, a lot of people, we talked about it yesterday, a lot of people jumped on that, you know, do videos, do audios, do podcasts, write, you know, and some of the dumbest shit came out, you know, and we're not going to rehash that today. But Stevie Richards did a video and micro-analyzed, you know, the spots from Wednesday. The problem is, you know, some people are saying that the concussion happened early in the match. Of course, Moxley was knocked out at the first pile driver. He didn't even answer the three count. And it wasn't even a timing issue because when the referee stopped, he didn't even ever try to kick out at all. And then Rey Fénix, with all due respect, moron, hits the same fucking move. You know, like, you don't have, like, half a brain to say, yo, Chico, why didn't you kick out? Oh, maybe. You know, you got to think while you're in the ring. Oh, shit, did he get knocked out? Oh, fuck, did I drop him on his head? Let me do it again! Stevie Richards, I think, should have waited a day or two, find out what exactly and when, then comment about it. I think, you know, look, I didn't see what he posted originally. I just think that people rush. There's an orthopedic surgeon. I don't know his name. There's an orthopedic surgeon that has nothing to do with wrestling. That every time a wrestler gets a major injury, this motherfucker pops up on everybody's feeds. Orthopedic surgeon gives his take on Big E's injury. Orthopedic surgeon gives his take on Rick Boogs' injury. Orthopedic surgeon gives his take on Cody Rhodes' pectoral tear. He does this, you know, the profit off the fact that wrestlers get it. He's not even a wrestling fan. But as soon as he sees that, fresh meat, let me cover it, get a million views, make money. A lot of people just race to throw shit online to make money. I don't blame AEW for taking people's shit down. I don't blame them. You know, I mean, you see people that have videos, even on Twitter, having shit taken down. Yeah, there's a reason for it. I mean, you ever see any of, whenever we post video clips of stuff, do you ever see any of my stuff ever taken down? We posted This Week in Wrestling History for years. An audio clip. Do you ever see anybody? And please don't say, well, that's because you're a nobody, D'Antoni, and nobody tunes into your shit. Trust me, when I tried to even call Hardcore Homecoming an ECW reunion show, I got legal letters from WWE. They don't take shit from nobody. But there's a way to do it. And everybody runs. Most people run. I don't do it. Right smack. I got to be the first to do it. Otherwise, I'm not going to make money. So, nothing wrong with that. But don't be surprised when sometimes your shit gets taken down. And, you know, I feel bad for Stevie Richards because all that work that he did. All that. I mean, I saw the screenshot with him with the screen and he's and all that work wasted. He could post it somewhere else. I don't know if he's got a Patreon. Put it on Patreon. But YouTube, no. Okay. Relic says that Stevie Richards says you got to protect the boys from themselves. Problem is, as far as I know, I have never seen Maury Povich have John Moxley on the stage and Stevie Richards. And he looks at Stevie and goes, Stevie, you are the father. Stevie Richards ain't John Moxley's keeper. All right. He could care about wrestlers. He could care about injuries. He could care about his fellow workers. But at the end of the day, you know, they're big boys. You know, they have to worry about themselves. Stevie Richards cares, but he's not their father, representative, handler, you know, nothing. So at the end of the day, he could express his opinions, but that's what they are, their opinions. And that's not a shot on Stevie Richards at all. Zero. No, none. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Austin. Buckaroos. We got the Young Bucks on the screen. Much love. Hey, I appreciate that. Listen, when I did that drive for a certain wrestler years ago for the kidney, so we can't mention a name because people are like, oh, DT, you always bring it up every so often for credit. No, I bring it up for a reason right now. When we were trying to raise money, I told people online, the first thing I said repeatedly hundreds of times is, look, you may think a dollar or $2 doesn't seem like a lot, but when you get 1, 2, 3, 5,000 people do that all together, that's the difference between getting a surgery and not getting a surgery. And that's what happened. We had thousands of people that only donated a dollar or two. And we thanked them and appreciated it and, you know, got together a nice amount of money, you know, to help that person. Always appreciate it. Absolutely, man. All right, let's see. Kevin Milwaukee with a random question. Do deaf people actually realize how loud a fart is? If they're deaf, they have no idea. They have no idea. I actually just watched a video. You know, I watch videos sometimes. Colorblind person sees color for the first time, and deaf person hears music for the first time. And like, I do a little study online, and you know, this technology's been around for like 2 decades. And I see someone who's like 40, 50, 70 years old, and I'm like, in 2023, 73-year-old colorblind woman sees color for the first time. I'm like, wow, your family's fucked up. You mean to tell me your family couldn't fucking buy a $100 pair of glasses 20 years ago? You know, it's not that cheap, but it's not like somebody just got a Pulitzer Prize that, hey, I just discovered how colorblind people could see color. It's weird online how things are recorded just for ad revenue. the greatest. I'm sure you've all seen this on Twitter. How many times in the last year or two have you seen on Twitter where like a woman is walking down the street and there's like a bum sitting in the corner, or a guy walking down the street and there's a bum sitting in the corner, and the guy goes and buys a sandwich, buys coffee, buys a pair of socks, does this, is it. But meanwhile, you know, it's not like just spur of the moment good deed. They got like five camera angles and they make sure that every little thing is on camera. I'm like, these motherfuckers, man, I don't believe it for a second. Whenever you, even some of the animal videos, you ever see some of those animal videos that they see an animal and they're like, oh, I'm going to take him home and I'm going to clean him and I'm going to bathe him. And then next thing I know, he's my pet forever. And I'm saying to myself, I don't buy it sometimes because every little thing is recorded. And it's not just recorded. It's like perfectly centered. Oh, look, honey, there's a dog and he's on the farm and it's like just too coincidental sometimes, the timing of these things. I don't buy it. Some of them are true, but you want to document it for your own personal thing. Oh my God, honey, look at that dog. Can we take him in? Maybe we could help him. You record that, you know, you're doing that. But these people, you could see they professionally get the lighting perfect and they zoom in on the eyes. So you see the bloodshot, the tears. It almost looks like a dog is crying. And then they add opera violin music to it to make you want to cry at home. And then at the end of the fuck that. All right. JS saw someone make soup in the bed of their truck and gave soup to homeless people. Listen, some people absolutely record good deeds that they do. And that is inspirational because maybe you could convince someone else to do it. You know, people might remember about 20 years ago, me and a couple of hotline hosts, we went to a soup kitchen in Corona, Queens, and we were giving out soup to the homeless. We did it around Christmas time. There was about four or five hotline hosts that did it. And we just all did it because one person came up with the idea and we all decided, yeah, let's do it. We didn't have camera phones 20 years ago. Otherwise, probably would have recorded it. And I probably would have played it for all of you 15 times already. But sometimes you do inspire someone else. But sometimes the production is a little bit too perfect, you know, to believe that this happened in real time. So let's see. Tristan is asking my thoughts on Jerry Lawler slapping Andy Kaufman on David Letterman. Epic. I watched it happen in 1982, I believe. I used to love watching Late Night with David Letterman. For me, middle 80s is probably where I peaked as far as being a fan of his. But anytime a wrestler was appearing on a talk show, I always watched it. I watched Hulk Hogan on Johnny Carson. Joan Rivers, when she was doing some late night TV hosting, she would have wrestlers on. My God, Arsenio Hall. But yeah, no, I watched that and it was epic. And the slap, you know, was real and it was pretty impressive. And Andy Kaufman has always been one of my favorites. Look. They got. My friends, do you honestly think on this show tonight I expected Tristan Sloan to ask me about Andy Kaufman? I mean, here's like a 8-disc box set right here. Eric Gudzentius. Thoughts on Cody's next feud? Oh, God. You're not going to like my answer. Should it be Drew with Riddle gone? Looks like Omos from this weekend's house show. I didn't realize you noticed that. I was going to prep you. All right, everyone. I don't think this is the next feud for Cody. I think it was just mix and match for house show purposes. It could be a match on Raw in the very near future. Sure, why not? Why shouldn't Omos come out and try to squash Cody like a grape? I mean, Omos recently came out, and didn't he try to do something to Bobby Lashley? Which kind of now seems a little bit off, since Bobby Lashley's kind of like changed his ways. If you saw SmackDown Friday, on the house show circuit over the weekend, Cody was a guest on the MVP Lounge, and he got into it with Omos a little bit. So now people are like, oh, fuck. Cody versus Omos is the next feud. I don't necessarily think it's the next feud. I don't think Drew McIntyre and Cody Rhodes would be the next feud. If Drew McIntyre was much angrier about Jey Uso, then yeah, that's an easy storyline. You know, if Drew McIntyre continues to hunt Jey Uso, you know, because remember what happened on Raw last week. We could end up with something as simple as Cody is in, Drew McIntyre, you know, is being interviewed. You know, could you explain your actions, why you didn't help Jey Uso last week? Which honestly would be one of the dumbest questions anybody could ask. The bloodline did to Drew and storyline, of course. If I'm Drew, I don't help Jey Uso. But maybe Drew McIntyre shown in the back, Cody Rhodes shows up. Hey, Drew, I know you're not happy that Jey Uso's here, but the Judgment Day is an even bigger problem. And, you know, why didn't you, you know what I mean? And then Drew McIntyre could get pissed off at Cody, and then you could do that. That's, you know, kind of an easy way to do it. It's not out of the question. Drew McIntyre and Cody Rhodes actually would be pretty good. The only thing is, I think people want Drew McIntyre in a feud where he could, I don't know, win, right? Don't you want Drew McIntyre in a feud that he actually could win, not just a random Raw match? And here's the thing with Cody Rhodes, too. I still wholeheartedly believe Cody Rhodes is finishing the story at WrestleMania. But Cody Rhodes does not need to be undefeated between now and WrestleMania. You know, WWE's got to be really careful with this shit. Just like we joked on yesterday's show. You know, Friday SmackDown when John Cena was getting beat down, you didn't hear one person in the crowd go, LA Knight, LA Knight. No, you heard them go, Rocky, Rocky. That's the problem when you put Rocky back on TV. Now everybody thinks The Rock is going to be sticking around. With Cody, they got to be careful, man, because you can't start making people believe that the first time Cody loses his match, he ain't finishing the story. How could he finish the story? He just lost to blah, 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 blah. So Cody Rhodes needs to lose once in a while. And I know, yeah, I know he recently lost to, well, not recently, but he lost to Brock Lesnar. But my point is, Cody needs to have another loss here and there. That does not change the story. Dusty didn't win every single match on his quest to finish the story. So, we'll see what happens. Yes, if you're all enjoying the show, hit that thumbs up. If you're not a subscriber yet, please subscribe. When you see every person in YouTube land saying, like, share, subscribe, you know, there's a reason behind it. You know, getting more exposure, you know, actually helps. Because then you may get people that will be recommended to check out one of my shows. And they may end up, hey, I kind of like this show. I'll stick around a little bit. So, yeah, it all helps. It all helps. And it's free. That's what's cool about it. Let's see. Where is Karrion Kross? He is probably home. Because, well, actually, he's probably in a hotel from the house shows this weekend. I know what you're asking me. Where is he on TV? A lot of wrestlers have been off TV the last couple of weeks. There's a Halloween special coming up. He's involved in it. A few people are involved with it. You know, they're just focusing on other storylines right now. Harris B, shout out to you. 29 months. Member of La Nostra Familia. Thank you, Harris. When did I feel NWO jumped the shark? Oh, boy. I can't just go back 28 years and start thinking about every little element of the NWO. But when they started having a lot of additional members, when they went, see, the Wolfpack was kind of cool. Their theme song was pretty damn cool. I think when they started adding like Horace Hogan and so many people, even when the Nasty Boys thought they were going to become NWO, and didn't Hulk Hogan say to Brian Knobbs on an episode of Nitro, why are you wearing our colors? And then they all beat him down. Even at that point, I was like, all right, come on. You know, this is getting a little bit old. I think around that time is when I started thinking, there's a little bit too much. Your guess is as good as mine as far as Wardlow. I'm kind of baffled. You know, when somebody asked earlier, who's the next person to go to WWE? It would not surprise me if Wardlow does. It would not surprise me. It would not surprise me if Wardlow's, I don't know when his contract ends. You know, if I wanted to spend enough time, I probably could get, you know, the information on a lot of people's contracts and, you know, when theirs coming up. I don't necessarily know when Wardlow's is, but Wardlow, I mean, what are they waiting for? I mean, that's a guy that you had it right in front of you. I mean, the guy was over like Rover, and I'm baffled. I'm a little baffled about Wardlow, you know. But, you know, you look at Hobbs and you look at others. When it comes to Giants, I mean, I'm pleasantly surprised how they're utilizing Brian Cage. But even that, I look at, I'm like, yeah, that's more Ring of Honor. Let's be honest. And you know my feelings on that. But hey, it's better than nothing. It's better than nothing. All right. We are almost at an hour. We're going to start bringing this home, especially when we have like the same group, you know, nothing against y'all, but same group asking questions over and over. And, you know, we're not getting as many people asking tonight, you know, unless that picks up soon. But, yeah, JS, we talked about Rick Boogs earlier. We touched on it a little bit. Oh, by the way, I pulled up the link. Quick plug, just a reminder, Tuesday, Kevin and I are going to be doing next special episode of the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show. Originally, we were like, what do you want to talk about? Now we kind of have like a whole bunch of things to talk about. And you know what? Let me pull this up. Okay. Earlier we were talking about the podcaster James Romero. All right, this is who he is. That's who he is. Some of you out there that didn't recognize the name, now you probably recognize him. He's the one that does all the shoot interviews. I'm a fan. He's good. We talked about the start time for the Elimination Chamber in Australia yesterday. It's probably going to be here in New York about 6 a.m., 5 a.m., possibly even with the pre-show. I remember when Brock Lesnar fought that in that WWE event in Japan. We got up in the middle of the night to watch it. I mean, it was not fun, but it was actually kind of cool. Like just getting up in the middle of the night, turning the TV on. And I actually still remember I was at my parents' place. I remember like getting up and turning it on, and it's like kind of awkward middle of the night watching that shit. Yeah, start time is much different. But when you have Peacock, by the way, when we do talk about the future of Raw and NXT on tomorrow's show, I got to remind myself to remind everyone out there that the Peacock deal, Peacock, as far as I know, is part of NBC Universal. So you got to think about WWE's future with Peacock besides SmackDown and Raw and NXT. Okay. All right. Anthony is asking, if Public Enemy never left ECW, Would their careers be more fondly remembered? I mean, honestly, I was a fan of their stuff. I actually liked what they did in WCW. When they came out with the tables, I mean, yeah, it was watered down shit, but fans enjoyed it. If you go back and you watch Johnny Grunge and Flyboy Rocco Rock on WCW TV, crowd popped for their shit. The problem with them is that, you know, their gimmick had a shelf life. You know, I don't want to get too deep into this because I know a lot of you were not fans of Public Enemy or it's before your time, but I'll explain it like this. As a lifelong ECW fan and enjoying their work, this is the best way I could describe what went wrong with Public Enemy, and it's simple. It's not even just the fact that they showed up on WWF and thought their shit didn't stink, so the APA took care of business and they were gone from there. It's not even that. And even Johnny Grunge had a horrible eating problem. Johnny Grunge blew up to like, what, 400 pounds, 350 pounds. And I even think he died because of complications of sleep apnea. At that time, I didn't know much about sleep apnea. I thought his wife was full of shit when I first heard it. Then I started researching. I remember I went on one of my hotline reports and I apologized. I'm like, holy shit, I did not realize how much, you know, he has CPAP machine and everything, and he fucking died from it. But here's the problem with Public Enemy. Public Enemy peaked in 1995. That's when Public Enemy peaked with their character in ECW in 1995. Think back at 1995. WWF, you had the cartoon bullshit. WCW was before the start of the NWO. When you got the NWO going, and then you had WWE going attitude, you know, and then you had hardcore shit on ECW, on WWE, on WCW, and then you started getting to 97, 98, Public Enemy was like watered down. Like everybody, there was so much hardcore, even if it wasn't brutally violent, you know, Public Enemy, you know, they really were not standing out much anymore. And they were not the greatest wrestlers. Johnny Grunge, like I said, you know, started getting too heavy. And people were no longer going, na 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 na. It started getting played. This is the Attitude Era. Don't give me na 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 na. It just played out. It had a shelf life. Had a shelf life of about 3 years, four, and they did not adapt. And then they thought their shit didn't stink. And then the rest is history. Triple X with the 222. DT, my opinions on the career of SD Jones and the Junkyard Dog. In a nutshell, Junkyard Dog, one of the most beloved fan favorite miserable people, you know, ever to be around. I mean, that Dark Side of the Ring stuff, honestly, you watch that episode and you say to yourself, why did he even do an episode? Like, you know, like, oh, because he liked to buy, like, you know, substances from, like, he had a good career. He got a little bit too heavy. He partied a little bit too much. Didn't save his money. Sure, he died in a car accident, and that is tragic. But even if he didn't die in a car accident, you know, he was beyond close to 50. You know, he wasn't going to rejuvenate his career. Junkyard Dog, when I was a kid, watching the Junkyard Dog put a smile on my face. Junkyard Dog put smiles on fans' faces. He was never meant to be heavyweight champion. He was never meant to be the main event, the focal point. But he was one of those good guys that if you hurt him, the fans cried. If he beat up the bad guys, the fans smiled. He was great. SD Jones, enhancement talent. He was enhancement talent. I mean, I know earlier in his career he had a little bit more, but he was fun to watch. I saw him in the Garden where they actually let him work 7 minutes. I saw him in the Ridgewood Grove Arena when he got to work 6 minutes. SD Jones is like Mac Rivera. I don't want to say Johnny Rods, because Johnny Rods was much higher in the food chain than SD Jones. But SD Jones was an important person as far as enhancement talent goes. He made the superstars look 10 times better. So SD Jones, you know, when I became a fan in 79, most of what SD Jones did that I saw, he was enhancement talent for others. Once in a while, he'd be rewarded at the Spectrum or the Garden or some other place, and he would wrestle against Israel Mattia or, you know, someone else, and he would get a win once in a while. Fans liked him, but the fans knew at the end of the day he was going to lose 95% of his matches. Oh, yeah, SD Jones could work. But you know what? His punches sometimes. Listen, I know a lot of you never saw this guy, but anybody that did, you'll laugh when I say this. Sometimes when, and I think there's even an SD Jones match on my YouTube channel, if you search my channel. But SD Jones, when he would punch, and I even think he was left-handed, southpaw, but when he would punch, sometimes he would punch, and he would put this smile on his face, and it almost felt like he was saying to himself, like, oh, shit, I actually look good doing this. Like, his punches, like, he would wind up and throw his punches, and then he had this weird look on his face, like, oh, that looked pretty good. You know, like, just never, I don't know, just good enhancement talent. Johnny Rods is gangster, Chaos. Johnny Rods is gangster. I will always love Johnny Rods. Went to his school, you know, as a guest watching other people. Trust me, if I would have ever been a student in school, I would have been throwing up and stretched. But I got to see his school. I went to Spanish Harlem, watched a couple of his shows. I used to hang out with Timmy Austin, the former, you know, the ECW zombie, God rest his soul. When he was training at Johnny Rods, I would go with him and hang out. Johnny Rods, a lot of you saw that video, you know, where Johnny Rods showed up at a VPW show. And, you know, I have a video where I kind of video bombed him. You saw him knock out someone, and I showed up and video bombed him. But, you know, even when I hung out with Johnny Rods at VPW events, we always talked about the same thing. Lincolns and Cadillacs. Always talk cars with Johnny Rods. Johnny Rods is gangster. I freaking love Johnny Rods. So happy he's in the WWE Hall of Fame. Even though most people don't even know who he is. YouTube uploader. Have I ever considered getting Francine on a Forbidden Door podcast? Honestly, no. I mean, my personal interaction with her, I don't think would make an entertaining show. Plus, some of our memories, you know, do involve Daphne. And I think that would just be beyond sad. I wouldn't mind bringing her on, because there's a lot of ECW stories and a lot of things that, you know, would be fun to talk about. But no, I never thought about bringing her on. It's none against her. I mean, I've always been a fan, and I'll always appreciate that kind gesture she did for me for one of my hotline listeners who had bone cancer. She was just tremendous for doing that. But honestly, no. Okay. We're going to start wrapping this up. Chaos has been in Gleason a few times in the 90s. You know, the funny thing is, if I close my eyes right now and I think of that place, you know what the first thing that comes to mind? The smell of sweat. The smell of sweat. Like, if you ever watched the early movies of Rocky, when he walks into the gym in Philly, like, if you ever watched it, you probably at some point said to yourself, wow, could you imagine how smelly that place was? I do remember Gleason's smelling awful. But, you know, that's what happens when you're in gyms with people working out, wrestling, and sweating their asses off, and it didn't smell that great. Jonathan wants my thoughts on JC Jane. She needs to realign with Gigi Dolin ASAP. ever since Toxic Attraction split up, neither one has been the same. I'm kind of surprised. You know, we'll talk about it tomorrow, but yesterday when we were discussing the releases, if you remember what I said about Yulisa Leon, yesterday I said, of all the NXT releases, I'm kind of baffled about hers the most because she was doing good. Like, I remember what I said with all the women on the roster, why would they let her go? That we talked about that yet. Well, we find out today that she requested a release. She requested it. And I also heard that a few others on that list requested their release as well. I don't want to throw names out there yet until I am 100% sure who they are, because I don't want to give you misinformation. But some of those names may surprise you. I'm a little surprised Gigi Dolin, I don't want to say ask, you know, I'm surprised she didn't ask for a release, but her and JC Jane have not been the same since Toxic Attraction split. And I understand they split them up. A lot of Mandy Rose, you know, people remember Mandy Rose, but the women's tag team division would be better with Toxic Attraction in it. Okay. Three more questions and we're going to jet. Eric wants to know, what do I think about Jade Cargill helping Tiffany Stratton beat Becky for the title at No Mercy? She could be Tiffany Stratton's bodyguard. I like it. I could picture that. Only thing is, I think it's a little too soon to throw on TV. You know, she had a decent match with Jade Cargill. And honestly, if that match aired in NXT, I think people would have said, hey, you know, Jade Cargill, Chris Statlin, they put on a great match in NXT tonight. Jade Cargill, you know, she still has a long way to go. Especially the WWE machine is a lot different than the AEW machine. I think it is way too soon to introduce it to TV. Yeah, I think Jade Cargill in NXT is going to generate some TV ratings, curiosity factor, but I think it's a little too soon. A little too soon. Especially when you got Royal Rumble, you know, only a few months away, then the road to WrestleMania. You know, take your time. I mean, I'm more surprised that Brian Pillman Jr. hasn't appeared yet. I'd like to see Brian Pillman Jr. versus Dominic Mysterio at NXT No Mercy. Even though right now it would make no sense, because why would he get a title shot on a premium live event? But maybe we'll get a surprise. Maybe Dragon Lee will beat Dominic Mysterio tomorrow for the title, which I don't know would happen because Dominic then would be the only one without a championship. And I just don't think WWE wants all the members of Judgment Day except Dominic to have it, you know, everybody have a title except for Dominic, so it might be too soon. But I think Brian Pillman Jr. is going to be on TV soon. So, too soon for Jay Cargill. All right. Second out of the third questions, I will answer JS's. Which release talent do I see coming back? They haven't even been released for 48 hours, and we're already trying to figure out who could come back. I can't even speculate. At some point, Dolph Ziggler will be back. Dolph Ziggler, people need to understand, Dolph Ziggler wasn't 100% committed to wrestling right now either. Involved political discussion, comedy, outside ventures. There's a little bit of a breather for Dolph to do what he wants. Dolph Ziggler will be back. You will get, you know, some of the younger stars will be back. But right now, way too soon. A lot of those released talent were doing nothing right now. And the only way that WWE is going to bring them back is if they feel that they have generated a lot more publicity, improved their physique and in-ring work, getting eyes, or somebody's going to be brought back for good, you know, secondary talent. That's why I think they brought Emma back originally. When they brought her back, you remember I said, you know, I'm happy she's back, but I'm a little confused. Like, what are you going to do with her? Anybody remember that? What are you going to do with her? You know, it's even when Indy Hartwell came to the main roster, I'm like, oh, that's cool. What are you going to do with her? I mean, I don't want someone to go to WWE just to be jobbed out because there's eight different women above them. So right now, there's nobody on that list that I could tell you, oh, this person will never, because there's a reason why they all let go. Okay, Triple X, Triple X, Harlem Heat's a bit forgotten since Booker T went solo. Thank you for the 222. Harlem Heat has really not been together since what? 1999? 2000? I mean, you're talking 23, 24 years. I mean, Booker T left WCW Nitro March 26, 2001, holding two titles in his hand. He was being pushed as a solo star. I mean, even when you think back to the G.I. Bro days, Stevie Ray was in the NWO. I mean, it's been almost a quarter of a century since the Harlem Heat have teamed up. Yeah, they are forgotten in many ways because Booker T had a storied, stellar singles career. Say that fast 10 times. So Booker T, you know, having that storied, stellar singles career, you know, the Harlem Heat, you know, it's recognized, but a lot of people, they look at Booker T, they associate him with, you know, his wife or himself. They don't really think of Stevie Ray. And listen, Stevie Ray being out of wrestling for a long period of time, not on camera, you know, will also add to that, you know, that forgottenness. So 25 years, listen, when we were talking about Magnificent Morocco earlier, you realize, and he's been gone even longer than that. So, yeah, when Booker T has the, you know, five-time WCW champion, you know, he doesn't say, I don't know how many times he won the tag titles. You don't ever hear him say, eight-time WCW tag team champion, whatever it is. You don't have to look it up. But, yeah, they found Booker T money as a single star. That's how most remember him. So, all right. Maggie says Riddle was great in the ring, just needs to get his personal stuff sorted out. Yeah, that's part of it. I don't want to get too deep with it. There's a couple of things that, you know, I'm aware of that I would love to make public right now, but it's not, you know, I haven't been told, go ahead, you know, but there's more to the story. But, you know, when he was off TV for those 2 weeks, the inner ear infection and the bronchitis was 100% legit. Problem is, when they told him, go home, get better, we'll have you back in a couple of weeks, at the same time, WWE and TKO were figuring out who they were going to get rid of. So they're not going to give away their hand. So he had no idea they were going to get rid of him. You know, but there's more to that story, but we're not going to talk about it tonight. So, all right, everybody, I'm going to jet out of here. We're almost at 90 minutes. I want to thank everybody for joining me and some great questions tonight. I'm kind of glad that the show's a little bit shorter than usual, especially yesterday. We went 3 freaking hours. And there's a lot on that show to take in. And I'm proud of that discussion. That discussion yesterday was great. And the feedback has been awesome. So if you haven't checked out that episode yet, even if you obviously can't check it out all in one shot, that was a great discussion to have. And I don't want to, you know, flood too much audio at one time because shit's going to be, you know, forgotten or skipped over. So definitely go check that out. Just a reminder, tomorrow night after Raw, you know, we'll cover Raw. We'll cover the weekend ratings. I have that already ready to go. And, yeah, we're going to talk about the future of Raw and the future of NXT. And something you got to keep in the back of your mind. You know, I'm going to throw a little wild prediction out there. Not a prediction. Do not discount the possibility of NXT going back to Wednesdays. Do not discount the possibility of Raw going to Tuesdays. Or, wherever the deal is, you could see Raw on Tuesdays during football season and on Mondays when it's not football season. There is a lot of shit going on right now with these TV negotiations. And let me tell you, when we talk about Raw's ratings from 5 years ago, one thing that we could realize almost immediately, some that we've talked about the last 2 years, that third hour is a killer. That third hour hurts their bottom number, their overall number, more than you can imagine. You know, when we say Raw is down 44% compared to 5 years ago, that third hour is a very important reason behind it. So, you know, plus when we were talking about the TV deal yesterday, something that I think a lot of people did not think about, you know, when they heard SmackDown, the amount of money, $287 million a year for the USA Network, something that you got to keep in mind as well, SmackDown is only 2 hours. Whatever the TV deal is, wherever they're negotiating, as of right now, Raw is 3 hours. So you're not going to give $287 million for a 2 hour show and then expect $287 million for a 3 hour show. But SmackDown's ratings are almost double what Raw's ratings are. So it's complicated. But the future of Raw and NXT, probably not on the USA Network. And you also got to think about, what's the future of Raw on Monday nights? It's going to be weird if we have Tuesday night Raw. Could happen. We'll discuss it tomorrow. So, my friends, before I go out of here, Xavier Gambit. Hey, Xavier. Chachawena, Xavier Gambit. What's up? All right, everybody. I'm out of here. Hope to talk to you all again tomorrow night. Keep supporting DonTony.com. If you enjoy what I do, want to help keep the shows alive, download those shows, the audio shows on DonTony.com. Keeps us relevant, keeps us in the stats, keeps us, you know, in the hunt. Be well, everybody. Much love. Have a good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.